You're listening to Finding Direction, where we help people who feel lost find direction in their life. We interview the most passionate and fulfilled people and reverse engineer their life to uncover how they found direction. In doing so, we uncover strategies, tactics, and actionable steps you can apply to live a life of passion, fulfillment, and happiness. I'm your host, Stu Massengill, and thanks for listening in. What's up, everybody? This week's episode is brought to you by Audible. And if you have not heard of Audible yet, this is an absolute must have, an absolute must add to your tool belt and to your daily life. Now, a little bit about Audible. They are a leading provider of spoken word audiobooks. Basically, you can find any book you would ever imagine in audiobook format on Audible. And a couple books that I personally have listened to on Audible, and honestly that have been the most impactful books in my life, are two that I'll recommend for you that you can basically dive right into. The first book is called The Defining Decade. And I know on this show we talk a lot about figuring out your life, your purpose, and what you want to do with your life. And this book basically, Dr. Meg Jay, she really dives into a little bit more of the science behind how to figure out what you want to do with your life. She was a counselor at a college, and basically through seeing so many people go through this question of what do I want to do with my life, she really went into this pretty big study around it. So that's a phenomenal book. Absolutely, absolutely recommend that if you're wanting to figure out what you're doing with your life. And the second book, which this is hands down absolutely the most profound book I've ever read in my life, the biggest book that changed my life, and it's called How to Win Friends and Influence People by Dale Carnegie. And don't get sidetracked by the title. It's not a negative connotation of influencing people. It's how can you go out there and be better at communicating, right? Because if we are not good with humans, we're not going to enjoy life as much. They are everywhere. I grew up as a shy kid and didn't really feel like I had communication skills. And when I got my hands on this book, I can tell you it changed everything for me in my life, not just to be happier around people, but just be more fulfilled and more excited and find more joy in life. So those are two books that I absolutely, absolutely hands down recommend. And a couple other cool things about Audible is, as we mentioned, there's thousands of titles you can choose from there. And the cool part is you get to listen wherever you want. You can actually download the audiobook to your phone and you can listen to it while you're on a plane. You can pause it, you can come back to it on another device and resume right where you left off. And it's all done from an app from your phone. So they make it really simple. You listen to it anytime you want. I often will listen to it while I'm cooking food or going on a walk or if I'm working out. It's just an easy way to really learn more while doing a bunch of other random things that I do in my daily life. So absolutely recommend checking them out. And for all of you that have not checked out Audible yet, what we're going to be doing today on the episode, which is really cool, is we're going to get you a free audiobook with a 30-day trial membership of Audible. All you need to do is just go to audibletrial.com/findingdirection and you're going to get one free audiobook. So, you know, again, I would check out The Defining Decade. It's a big book helping you figure out what you want to do with your life. And also another incredible one, a must check out, is How to Win Friends and Influence People by Dale Carnegie. Again, just go to audibletrial.com/findingdirection. What's up, my friend? Welcome back to the Finding Direction podcast. This week, I'm sitting down with Carrie Pierce. And to say that Carrie Pierce is an absolute powerhouse is a very, very large understatement. Carrie, she is the 4-time fittest American female. She was rated the 3rd fittest woman on earth in 2020. She is or was a competitive CrossFit competitor. And now she is the owner of 2 different businesses that are all about helping people enjoy doing physical activity in your life and being more active. She is someone who is extremely positive, someone who we joke around on the podcast, you know, doesn't just see the cup is half full, sees the cup is overflowing. All right. And in this episode, a few of the things we talk about is, interestingly enough, how when you are positive, when you see the cup is overflowing, how it actually triggers your brain in different ways. It literally creates a chain reaction when you are positive to create more opportunities in your life. So we get into some of the science on that. We also talk about the power of giving your soul to something, of fully going all in the thing that you want to pursue and make your life. And we talk about why you must be coachable and a lot more things on this week's episode. All right, we are going to dive right in here. If you haven't yet, please leave us a review on iTunes, Spotify. That's how we get this in front of more people. And without further ado, here is Carrie Pierce. Carrie Pierce, welcome to the show. I'm pumped to have you here.
Thanks, Stu. I'm excited to be here.
Absolutely. And so as we kick this thing off, I would love it if you could give kind of our listeners an idea of like, what did life look like for little Carrie? Is you a little girl running around? What was life like?
Yeah, I was a little girl running around in Michigan. I started life with a sister who's 2 years older, and actually 2 years, 2 months, 2 days. When you figure that out, as we got a little older. Yep. And then when I was three, my parents had a boy. So I have a brother. I was born in Ann Arbor, Michigan. We moved to Georgia, Atlanta, Georgia, about 6 months after I was born, then Missouri, then ended back in Michigan, which is where my brother was born. And I lived there until I was 21.
Nice. Heck yeah. And so I know at some point when you were also little Carrie, your parents kind of decided to plant a seed that maybe sort of turned into a massive part of your life. So kind of walk us through that. I know, you know, I think it was around 3 years old, you started a really big chapter of your life, to be honest.
Yeah, I started gymnastics when I was 3 years old with my sister, who was five at the time. And my parents wanted to get her into gymnastics. And so they're like, well, we might as well put Carrie in as well, because she's going to be there. She's going to either be sitting on the sidelines or she's going to be in the class. So why not? Yeah. And they introduced me to a bunch of other sports as well. Soccer, t-ball, swimming. I just wanted gymnastics. I was like, back to gymnastics. And they're like, okay. So by the time I was 5 years old, I started competing in gymnastics, and it ended up being 20 hours a week, basically 20 to 25 hours a week from then until I was 21 years old.
Crazy. Wow.
I mean,
doing anything for 20 hours at 5 years old is, I can't even picture. I have nephews and cousins that are 12 now. And it's like, even to imagine, I mean, it's more realistic to imagine them doing something for 20 hours, but as 5 years old, it's like, were your parents just like on you, or did you just loved it so much? You're like, I'm going to do it all day, every day sort of thing.
I just loved it. I didn't want to do anything else. And I feel like even as I got older, like even in school, I was like, I want to do my schoolwork at school. So I have no homework and I can just go to gymnastics and focus on that. So I just loved it ever since like I was introduced. I mean, there was obviously like a few patches where I didn't enjoy it, or, you know, had rough times with injury or coaches or things. But overall, 99% of the time, I love the sport and everything it offered.
Yeah. So I know, obviously, as you did that for, it was what, 18 years or so that you were doing that. And, you know, obviously you went on to be state champ. I mean, you went to Michigan State.
University of Michigan.
University of Michigan. My apologies. That's a big
one.
That's
okay.
And, you know, you crushed it in that. And I'm curious, like, as you've gone throughout the rest of your life, what would you say is something you took from being so committed to that as a child that has continued to sort of show up throughout your life as you've continued to be successful in thing after thing that you've done?
Yeah, I think when you're going to be super successful in something that you do, you just have to dedicate your soul and your life to it. Like I said, I love gymnastics and, you know, it set my heart on fire. I enjoyed doing it every minute of the day. I was thinking, maybe not every minute, but almost every minute of the day I was thinking about it. And then, you know, that transferred over to CrossFit when I competed in that. And then now my business, I like setting my eyes on something and just going after it and not like halfway doing it, but doing it to the best of my ability. Because if I'm not going to do that, I know somebody else is, and then they're going to beat me and I want to be the best. And that's what it takes. So I feel like I learned those lessons when I was young and have been able to carry it, like you said, through other adventures in my life.
Yeah. How do you know you're not aiming towards the wrong thing?
You don't know. I think I just have been able to find what I really love and what I really enjoy, and it makes me happy. And if it makes me happy, then I feel like it's the right thing for me.
I love it. So it's more
almost like just listening to your own sort of inner guide, really.
Yeah, and finding what you enjoy doing. I know, like, out of college, I wasn't sure what I wanted to do. I still wanted to be involved in fitness. I kept wanting to work out, but I wasn't sure what that meant. I also thought maybe I wanted to be a physician assistant. So I went and I shadowed in a hospital and I was like, this just doesn't feel right. And then I was in a gym and I was working out and I was like, this is what I like. And I like helping people stay healthy and get healthier rather than helping sick people get healthy. Like, much appreciation for, you know, doctors and stuff that do that. Hats off to them. But I just knew that that wasn't for me.
Yeah. Do you remember what the like sort of mental process you went through when you know, I mean, literally, once you say bye to gymnastics, I mean, it's other than 3 years, it's your entire life, right? That you've done this. It's like your identity's wrapped around it. It's like very much Carrie is it's hey, hi, my name's Carrie. I'm a gymnast, right? And so like, what was that like mentally for you to say, all right, like this door's closing? Because I think that's one of the hardest things sometimes for people is it's like you close a chapter that you're so attached to and you go, it's like as you search for that next chapter, it's like, well, that's the only thing I know. And for you, that's the only thing I know since I was 3 years old, like probably actually the only thing that you knew. So like, what was that mentally like as you had to kind of give up this like part of yourself?
Yeah, I mean, it was definitely hard, but very luckily, I knew when the end was going to be. So for gymnastics, most of the time you peak when you're like 16 years old. I kept doing it and was able to, you know, go to college and do it until I was 21. But because it was college, like after my junior year, I'm like, okay, I know like senior year is going to be my last year. So I just every practice, every meet just focused on enjoying it because I knew that the end was coming. Still, even though, you know, the end is coming. I didn't know what was next. Like I said, I was like, okay, I think I'm going to be a physician assistant, but I still don't know. I have no experience in it. And when I finished, you know, I tried a few different things to see what it was that was going to be my next step. And luckily I ended up finding fitness. If I had it, I mean, I don't know. I might've tried like going to become a physician assistant and going to school and then being like, this isn't for me. And, you know, dabbling in a few things, but it was hard at first because, like you said, you tie your identity to something. Like, I'm a gymnast. And then I told our strength conditioning coach, like, I still want to work out, but I just don't know what I want to do. So he helped guide me to, you know, weightlift and then to personal train. And then I even went in a physical therapy place. So just tried a lot of different things and, you know, realized that that chapter was over. But the next chapter could be, you know, filled with something just as good or just as fun.
Yeah. It's interesting, you know, from what I've heard, like kind of looking into your life and obviously having a conversation with you now, is it seems like you are innately the cup is not just half full, the cup's very full, right? You're like, the cup's very full. The cup is overflowing, right? You know, very positive, like having that positive outlook. And I think one thing that's really interesting is like, as you went into fitness, I think a lot of people in the world would go, okay, you're going to go into fitness, but I mean, if you become a PA, there's a much more promised path. It, you know kind of where you're going to go. And with fitness, you're like, that's not really there. But I think one really interesting thing that like actually affects our brain when it comes to being like, no, the cup is overflowing. Cause I'm in a similar sense, that type of person where it's like, you can always find positive in something. And what's really interesting is even as you pursue something like fitness, where it may not have a promised path, if you are like, I know this is going to work out. Positive things will come. Like all of that. There's literally a part of your brain. It's called the RAS, the reticular activating system. And it basically looks for things. It looks for you to find things that are in alignment with what you believe. If that makes sense. Right. It's like,
yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like, if you, for it, like a simple example is it's like, if you ever thought of like, okay, I need to buy a new car and you're like, I'm going to buy a blue Lexus or whatever. And you decide you're going to buy a blue Lexus and all of a sudden you see blue Lexuses everywhere, right? Have you had that happen?
Yep.
Right?
I actually want to buy a Bronco and I didn't see them at first. And now I see them like all over the place.
Everywhere, right? And it's crazy because it's like, it's not that the Broncos were never there. It's just that you were never aware of it, right? Mm-hmm. And so it's like, we have so much stimuli that goes on in our life that I think to kind of bring this back to the positive outlook, it's like when you are so set and just convinced that like, even though there's not a proven path, like something's going to come. There's so many things that come in your life that like your RAS will literally be like, oh my God, I randomly heard that person in that corner of the gym that I was at have this conversation about this thing called CrossFit. Like, I don't really know what that is, but I'm going to go, you know what I mean? It's like our brain finds things so that we can make sure we are like true to ourselves, right? Like one of the biggest powers as a human is to live in alignment with who we believe we are. And if we believe we are like this fitness person, our brain's going to do everything to prove to us and find things that make it so that we can live in that path, right? So, I mean, obviously in your story, it worked out very well, but I'm curious, as you went through that process, again, to kind of dig into like your psyche a little bit, what was it like for you to say, okay, I I'm not going to take the proven path. I'm not going to do the thing that everybody, you know, may point you towards. I'm going to do fitness, whether that's being a personal trainer or a, you know, power lift or like kind of what was that like as you went into the less favored path, I guess?
I mean, it was definitely very scary. Like you said, the path, I took some classes in college that were for PA school and, you know, they were tough classes that wouldn't have had to take if I would have known I was going into fitness.
Yeah.
But luckily, like, you know, I figured out that wasn't for me, and just going to a gym and being like, okay, let's see, you know, what is here and just see kind of what it's about. Like I didn't know about personal training, and the first personal training job I had was actually like more sales than anything. They're like, you need to sell the client. And well, huh. And I was like, that's not what, like, I want to work people. Like, I want to get people healthier. Yeah. I don't want to like do any sales. Like, I love fitness and I want to work
that's
out and
interesting.
Show people how to work out and make them enjoy working out as much as I do. So it was definitely a very different experience than what I was expecting, but I still just love being in the gym. And I was like, okay, we're going to do this. And then that was in Michigan. And then I moved to New York, which rent is very expensive. And, you know, there's people that were like, you know, fitness doesn't make a lot of money. You should just do PA school. PAs make, you know, the 80 to 100,000, whatever it is, like set, like personal trainers is usually like an hourly salary. Like, you know, you only make as much as you can get clients, because, you know, those clients are the ones that paid. You're not getting paid if you're just standing in the gym. But I was like, okay, well, I'm going to take this as a challenge. And I want to see how many clients I can get and be able to pay the crazy rent in New York. Like right after I moved there, I just walked around, found a beautiful gym that was like a 5-minute walk, and went in there, talked to the fitness manager, and he hired me as a trainer after I took him through a workout. And
nice.
Yeah. And like I said, it was kind of like a challenge. Like, okay, I don't have a set path, but I love this and I'm willing to go into the gym at 6 a.m. during the busy hours and try and talk to people and, you know, see if people want to work out with me. And I was there, you know, some 10 to 12 hours a day, just work out, have people see me work out and see what would come from it.
Yeah. So cool. And what made you move to New York?
An ex-boyfriend that was a fitness model. Yeah. So we met at the gym in Ann Arbor and he was a fitness model and they wanted him to move out to New York.
And
I was like born and raised in Ann Arbor, loved it. But I also just felt like I needed something bigger. I wanted something more. I was personal training. I started at a Bally's Total Fitness that got bought out by an LA Fitness, and everyone was making like half the amount of money. It was like kind of silly. And so one of the trainers opened up a little studio. I was working there, but still just felt like I wasn't like reaching my potential. I wanted more. And New York City, well, you're definitely going to get more. There.
Yeah.
What's up, my friends? It's Stu, and I have big news. After interviewing hundreds of people on their journey in life and experiencing my own journey to a life full of fulfillment and passion, I finally put together a special guide just for you. And it's called 3 Steps to Finding Direction in Under 10 Minutes. And you can go grab it at findingdirectionuniversity.com/3steps. If you're feeling lost and like you're not quite sure what you want to do with your life, this guide will help you figure out exactly what your next step is in just under 10 minutes. You're not alone in this journey, and I'm excited to guide you through this process until you've truly created a life that you love. go grab the guide at findingdirectionuniversity.com/3steps. I look forward to helping you create your dream life.
So cool. So as you know, eventually you start training people and you're kind of pursuing this and living your life. I'm kind of two things I'm curious. One is you started to do more training in New York. Did you feel like you were reaching your full potential or were you still kind of searching for it? And then when did the sort of CrossFit light bulb sort of turn on for you? Because obviously that was a huge next piece of your chapter.
Yeah. I was still kind of searching. It was rewarding being in New York and just knowing how many opportunities there were. And it forces you to grow up really quick. Just moving that far away from home. I had to sell my car, basically used all of my money to put it into rent because since we were out of state, they made us pay like 3 months in advance plus like the month security deposit and then the last month rent or whatever. So like,
basically a bunch of money. You're like,
And then you're like, okay, well now everything, like food's more expensive. Everything is just more expensive there. So I'm like, okay, I just like sold my car, used all my money for rent. Okay, now I need to hustle so that I can make more money. And so it was definitely a big stepping stone in my life and just made me grow up a lot as a person. Yeah. Like I didn't live at home in college, but still it's different when you're 20 minutes away versus like a 9.5 hour drive. And so I still didn't feel like quite fulfilled, but I felt like I was on the right path. And I ended up falling in love with New York since I lived there for 7 years. So it was the beginning of something great. And then how I found CrossFit, actually one of my teammates in college kept telling me about CrossFit, but I was like, no, like I heard it has gymnastics. I'm done with gymnastics. Like I was actually like done with gymnastics. I was like, no, I'm done. She's like, it's basics. It's nothing crazy. And then one day I saw the CrossFit Games on ESPN. It was in 2014 when I was still personal training on a Saturday. So I finished my workout, lay down a yoga mat, sat and watched it and was like, I could be pretty good at this.
Love it. And I think almost what happened for you at that moment, it was like the light bulb went off of like, I can maximize my potential in that vehicle.
Yeah. Yeah.
So cool. And so as you eventually go into CrossFit, I'm curious for you, like what were one or two of the things you applied to? Because I mean, you got really good at this really quick. And I think that's a superpower some people have, right? It's like whatever you go into pretty quickly, you get the hang of it. Like, I'm sure just with even like the personal training you're doing in New York, pretty quickly, you probably became a top producer there, right? And so as you went and transferred into CrossFit, what do you feel like were like one or two characteristics you had that allowed you to get really good at that?
The first, I would definitely say the most important thing is I'm an all-in kind of person. And from when I started, like from when I saw it, I was like, I could be good at this. And like, I knew if I applied myself, then I would be good at it. So I actually was signed up for a powerlifting competition in November of 2014. And I was like, okay, I'm going to do this competition. Then when I'm done, I'm going to go into CrossFit. And it was kind of like, this is like my next thing. This seems like it's going to be a lot of fun. It's different than, because I did weightlifting, I did a physique competition and then powerlifting after gymnastics. But I was like, this reminds me the most of gymnastics because there's so many things to do and learn. And so I think just like that aspect of really going all in and just focusing on it and seeing where I could take myself from an early stage, I think was one reason I was successful. And then another thing is I'm always willing to learn. I was at a gym and the owner who like recruited me to start coaching there had been doing CrossFit for a while. So he was very intelligent when it came to workout strategies. And my head coach, like the main guy writing my programming, was a strength conditioning coach. That was his background. And he worked for the Philadelphia Phillies. So he was just very intelligent. And, you know, people getting into a sport, like I've seen it, I could be like, oh yeah, I know what I'm doing. Like, I don't need to be coach. Like, but I think I'm very coachable and willing to learn. And so like the first competition that we did that was online, I listened to the other coach's strategy and followed it. Whereas like some of the other athletes didn't because they're like, oh, I know better. And I was like, I'm willing to learn. Like, and I ended up beating everybody in that workout just because, I mean, obviously I was fit, but also because I was willing to listen and my strategy was the best.
Yeah. Yeah. I love it. And I think, again, two massively important things for anybody. And I love how you said, like, you go all in and you commit your soul to it. Like, I think it sounds, you know, maybe for some people it's like, wait, what? You commit your soul? But it's like, I mean, if you really want to be good at something, you have to put your soul, like, it's a beautiful way to say it. And when you put yourself all in, I think for anybody listening to this that wants to get really good at anything, it's like, if you do that and you have that coachability where you're like, I don't know everything. Like, cause if you did know everything, you would have already had the result. Right. So, yep. So if you can be coachable, put your soul in, it's two really beautiful characteristics. And so let's go a little further in your journey. Eventually, you basically, to summarize this, actually, let's hear you summarize it. So summarize, if you would, because I'd love to hear it in your words, sort of what your CrossFit journey was like, because it was one hell of a journey.
Thank you. Yeah. So it started, like I said, in November 2014. And I actually didn't even start training at a CrossFit gym. The gym that we were at, well, gym was a studio apartment in New York. It was a duplex where if you were 6 feet tall, you couldn't lift a barbell over your head. So it was a very interesting place to start. But I luckily was short, so I could do those movements. And once a week, we would go to a CrossFit gym to do the more advanced movements like climbing ropes and doing ring muscle ups, just different movements that, you know, you couldn't do in a studio apartment. And about 4 months in, I did my first CrossFit Open, which is the very first stage of the CrossFit season. It's 5 weeks online. And I was like, yeah, I want to go into it, see how well I can do. And I ended up finishing top 20 in my region, which meant I made the next stage of the CrossFit game season, which was regionals. And talking to anybody, they're like, it's crazy. You made it like only a couple months after training. And I was like, I didn't think anything of it. I was like, I'm pretty good, I guess. I don't know. And then I end up going to the regional and the top five make it to the CrossFit games, you know, the worldwide competition of the year. Yeah. And after the second day, it's 3 days of competition. After the second day, I was either in third or fourth. And my coach was like,
damn,
if you don't mess up today, like, you could go to the games. And it was like two workouts that should be good for me. I end up winning the first workout. So I think I moved into third place at that point. And then the last workout, I actually missed a squat clean at the very end of the workout two times. And then I ended up hitting it the third time. And I was like, I hope this doesn't keep me out of it. But I ended up qualifying. I still finished in third. So within 6 months of starting CrossFit, I made the CrossFit games, which people are like, is unheard of. And I was like, oh, this is cool. Like, I guess I'm pretty good at it. But definitely like the gymnastic background, I had a little weightlifting and the endurance part of it was, I feel like, very mental. I worked hard at it and was able to excel. So then I made it to the CrossFit games. I got 21st my first year, which a lot of people are like, oh, 21st in the world, like, you know, less than a year after starting the sport, because it happened in July.
Yeah.
They're like, that's amazing. And I was like, no, like, that's not even the top half. Like, that sucks. And I think I just like kind of got addicted at that point and, you know, was a little more familiar with the sport. So then did it the next season and was able to make it to the games again. And I finished fifth in the world and I was the top American woman. Then after that, went back in 2017. I had a bad Achilles, so ended up finishing 10th place, but then went back in 2018, got 6th place, top American once again, 2019, 5th, top American, 2020, 3rd place in the world and top American once again.
Amazing.
Thank you.
Crazy. So cool. And so, you know, you do all this, and again, it comes to a place in your life, and it's kind of interesting that you've had a few of these moments in your life where it was like, all right, it was a gymnastic identity goes away and we step into this next step chapter of like wonder. And then you find CrossFit, you get this new identity, and then eventually you get to the place where the CrossFit identity disappears. So how, you know, kind of having a little bit more experience in this sort of re-navigating in your life, how'd you go through the next phase of your life as you sort of let go of, you know, at least competing in CrossFit and went into the next phase of your life?
Yeah, I think similar to gymnastics, I could kind of feel it coming on. After 2020, after I reached the podium, I was like, you know, I've done everything in CrossFit that I wanted to. That was like such a highlight, and four-time fittest American woman. I have been competing, you know, in different sports for 26 years and loved it to death. But at the same time, like, you know, it takes a toll, especially when you're all in. You know, I missed family vacations. Yeah. I would miss friends' weddings, even like when I was traveling. It's like, okay, where am I going to go work out? I need to make sure like I have these certain foods. So it was just like, you know, everything was surrounded by being an athlete and being successful. So I had done what I wanted to do and I was basically ready to be done. I ended up going another year because my coach started coaching two other incredible athletes that moved to Las Vegas to train with me. But I knew that last year I was like, okay, I'm just like each competition preparing to be done. So I think it was nice to have that closure. I finished my career at the Rogue Invitational in October. They gave a amazing send off in each event. I just like looked at the crowd before and just soaked it all up. So I couldn't have asked for a better end. But I think I was able to put like an end on my career with that incredible competition and moments and everything. And I had started my business back in December 2018. So Power Abs is doing amazing. And then, you know, we've started Fit. So it's been really cool to now focus on other people because you're an athlete, you're focused on yourself all the time. And I feel like I was so selfish and took so much from so many people to be as good as I could that like now it just feels amazing to be able to give back, obviously in a different way, but still like you're giving to other people. And I feel like nothing beats that feeling.
Love it. So it was a pretty, in this way, it was almost, I mean, pretty seamless transition where it was like, okay, I'm doing CrossFit. Now you're just, I mean, you're getting back to this place ultimately where you were trying to go in New York of helping people, right? Love fitness as much as you love it, get into great shape. And you just had this really, really cool detour that you took through CrossFit, which kind of amplified everything.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it like allowed people to see me more, like just like get myself out there so that I like, you know, have more people following me and like social media has grown. And so I just am able to impact that many more lives from it. So cool. It's really cool. Just like how everything happened. Cause like you don't know when you're getting into CrossFit. I was like, oh, you know, we'll just see where it goes and then happened to do well and better than I could have ever dreamed. And now, you know, we have over 200,000 people doing like Power Abs Fit and the programs, which never would have been possible, you know, before CrossFit.
Yeah. Amazing. That is so cool. And so, you know, kind of as we wrap up for today, and kind of perfect segue as well, you know, if people want to get more information for you, what you're up to, some of the, you know, obviously programs and, you know, ways you help people with their fitness and everything in life, like what's the best way for people to find you, see what you're up to, learn more about, you know, everything you do for people? Yeah,
the best place, my Instagram, Carrie Pierce CrossFit. I like to post, you know, what I'm doing either like on my grid or in my stories. Then, you know, it's always cool to share other people's stories. Like we have a lot of incredible transformations from from the programs, especially Power Abs and Fit. So it's cool to see all of that. So I do a mix of me and then other people because, you know, like I said, nothing beats that feeling, knowing that you're helping other people and making them feel more confident in their own skin. So that's the best place. Plus I'm good about responding to DMs for anybody that messages me. I know they say a lot of people are bad. So that's something I pride myself in, just answering people because, you know, I'm a human and I want to be able to give back as much as I can. So there, and then if people are interested in any of the programs, they're all 10 minutes. It's powerabs.shop is the easiest way to see all 20 programs that I offer.
Yeah. So cool. So the last question I have for you, a question we ask everybody, because we want to help people find direction in our community, but we really believe in doing it through action, right? Not just sitting on the couch and wishing for your life to get better, but like becoming better, doing things proactively. And so the question I have for you is, what would you say is one thing someone listening to this can do in the next 24 to 48 hours to start finding direction in their life?
Ooh, that's a good one. I think like, honestly, people are always afraid to do something that they want to do. Like, you know, for me, it was scary to, you know, say, no, I don't want to be a physician assistant. And yes, I want to go into a gym. So everyone I feel like has that thing that they're like, well, I should do this, or I should reach out to this person. Like, even if it's like social media is so amazing in that you can try to reach out to anybody. I mean, you don't know if they're going to answer, but it can't hurt, you know, like if I wanted to be on your podcast and I saw you and I was like, well, I don't know if he's going to like read my message, but it'll be really cool. Like I listened and I think I could be a good fit. Like message that person that you've been thinking about messaging, somebody that like inspires you or somebody that can help you. Cause it's, you know, I feel like the biggest rewards in life come from taking a little risk. So don't be afraid to take a little risk every once in a while, because you know, sometimes it definitely will pay off and it's always worth it.
Yeah. Love it. All right. That is the action item then for today. So Carrie, again, thank you so much for being here. Thank you for your time. You've just such a ball of energy and I appreciate you and everything you've done in your life and for sharing it. So thank you so much for joining us today.
Of course. Thanks so much for having me, Stu.
Absolutely. Congratulations, my friend, on crushing it through another episode here on the Finding Direction podcast. Make sure you give yourself a round of applause, give yourself a pat on the back, because you are one of the few who is not willing to settle for anything less than a life that lights your soul up, that brings you happiness, fulfillment, joy, all those beautiful aspects of life, which you do deserve to have. All right, if you have not yet, please make sure you go leave us a review on the iTunes store. Leave us a rating on Spotify if you're listening over there. And other than that, my friends, just make sure that today you have an unbelievable day. All right, have a great day. Have a wonderful day. And I will talk to you on the podcast next time. Take care.